All right, our next guest has seen lots of spring games, and I mean lots of spring games. Tom Chattel, the Omaha World Herald, joins us on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Well, good. I guess first I'd like to congratulate all the Kansas City Chiefs fans out there on their third straight Super Bowl win.
Oh, wow. Wow, one guy just solidifies the product.
Now,
there.
I'll give you a compliment back. At least you don't have Staley drafting for you. That was a smart pick last night for the Chargers.
I've finally given up the whole thing, and because I can't go from San Diego to L.A. with the Chargers. Not the Chargers. They're San Diego's team. So I was just not going to do it anymore. And then Jim Harbaugh, damn it. my favorite TV show ever is the Rockford Files, and he goes and starts living in an RV on the beach because he loves the Rockford Files. I'm going, damn you! Now I have to come back.
Yep,
I was done, and he pulled me back. So I thought they had a nice pick last night, but they're going offensive line, and look, whoever you draft in the AFC West. Until number 15 is gone, it doesn't matter.
I like that. Okay. I like how you're thinking. Yeah, everybody else should treat it like the Big Ten. Just draft a bunch of linemen. Why I want to have you on, and it's been a long time since you and I've talked on the air. We talk a lot off the air. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. And I want to start here. Because Troy Dannon last night was on the network. And there will be, we will all have friends that either have tickets in the South Stadium or thinking that tomorrow may be the last time for a while that thing is standing, that they may venture over to South Stadium. And Troy Dannon addressed it last night, walks in the door, gets handed this, oh, by the way, we're going to have the biggest project ever at Nebraska. What? If you've been in South Stadium and you've heard it, Tom, the concourses, the bathrooms, the concessions, the traffic flow, it's all a pain. Please do something. But then when there's a plan to do something, it's like, well, that's a waste of money. Why do you think this has been such a choppy rollout on a project in an area of that stadium that is greatly needed?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think because Trev Alberts has always had a big appetite, and he likes getting his way. And I think from what I heard, that there was a little bit of pushback. You know, Trev wasn't used to getting any pushback from the Reaches, and he got a little pushback on this thing because it just seemed like a lot of money. And I mean, do we have to do it all at once? Can't we do it over a certain, you know, maybe do this one year and do this the next year? I think it's still going to be done. I wrote this. I think it's still the right thing to do. You know, maybe you don't have to do it all at once, but these things, you know, if you're going to live in that stadium another 100 years or whatever, yeah, it's got to be done. And my wife and father-in-law, she basically grew up going to games at the top of South Stadium with her dad. And I a couple times left the press box and to go see what it was like, and I'm trying to go up the ramps and squeeze through and the long lines and the bathrooms, and I was like, how do these people do this? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's got to be done, and I think it starts with the students and the band. I think ought to be in the end zone. There's just something about it. You know, most Big Ten stadiums have those students in the end zone. They just sound better. They sound louder. They're more into the game. I think that there's a lot to be done there. But do we have to do it all at once? I don't know. I think the benches ought to be in the bathrooms and the concessions. Let's start with the basics. Yeah. Do you have to have a giant sports bar in the end zone? No, I don't think you do, but I think you have to do something in that end zone. Maybe create that open space at the top where people can like the CHI Health Center, the Creighton games, that people stand and would watch and socialize and hang out, but still watch the game. They don't always watch the national anthem. I think that's another. Sometimes in a Creighton game, there's still noise back there. But I just think there's that aspect of social event that you have to address a little bit. But I think you still got to do it. And I think it was okay to we have a new guy. Let's pause. And make sure it's the thing. Let's get his eyes on this and make sure it's right. I think he's been around the stadium and he's seen with his own eyes. Yeah, it's time to do something.
He said something that I know they're just words right now. We'll see about the follow through, but not just talking about football, but just in facilities in general of keeping up with the Joneses, where they want to, Nebraska wants to become the Joneses, essentially, and have people keep up with them. He brought up baseball as well, and Gary and I talk about this a lot, Tom. If you've been to Haymarket Park recently, it's outdated, and there's a lot of things that haven't been improved. Now, you can sell alcohol, and that's fine, but it's not going to improve certain amenities around the stadium as far as comfort, as far as I think the standard that Nebraska holds itself to, especially when that ballpark comes out. But I hear this a lot with people who drive by and maybe go to a game every once in a while. They're surprised when I say that it's outdated, because they're seeing it from afar and it looks great off the highway and everything. You've been to many ballparks. You've been to Haymarket recently. You've seen that evolve. And would you agree that that one also, as he brought up yesterday, that one is also something that needs to be a high priority?
You know, I've been there recently this season. I don't think it's a big priority, but maybe I'm not looking at the right thing. I still love it. I still remember when it was built and just how, back in 2002, it was just sort of this incredible state-of-the-art thing for a college baseball team to have. I mean, hardly anybody had anything like that. And it still works for me. I don't know, but again, I'm up in the press box sometimes, and maybe I don't see everything. So I don't know. I mean, what do they think is outdated about it? I guess maybe I have not been that close to that.
Well, and I would say, even from the radio aspect, the radio booths in the press box, but even in the stands, you look at some of the structures of it, it looks like it's definitely worn. I think there's always conversations and people will go back and forth on what the playing surface should look like, things about the dugouts, little things that just seem that they're maybe falling behind. And the reason I bring this up is, being at other Big Ten venues, although smaller, perfect for maybe what those ballparks need as far as their fans. You're seeing a lot of Big Ten schools over the last 5 years developing something that's going to be perfect for their fan base and their teams. And I know you have the Lincoln Salt Dog element of this too, so it does provide a bit of an obstacle. It just, to me, it almost feels like, as the Big Ten and they're changing some of their baseball facilities, that Nebraska still feels, hey, what we put up over 20 years ago is still better than everything else, where I would push back on that a little bit. I think there are improvements being made in certain Big Ten facilities that are now, in my opinion, putting Nebraska a little bit more on the clock.
Yeah, I think, what Nebraska is, I haven't seen all the Big Ten, but I'll pay attention to Big Ten baseball, maybe.
Like a lot of people do.
But I've, did they play baseball? But I'm just kidding. I think I think it still works. If we're saying about, look, every facility gets old, every stadium needs to be looked at every year, just to make sure you're on top of it. If there are things that Will Bolt needs, by all means, maybe there's something to be done. I love those berm areas. Maybe they do something back there. Maybe the outfield walls. Maybe it's the down the sight lines, whatever. Yeah. But I think it still works. I just think that, you know, the, again, it's a lot of the Big Ten stadiums. Okay, 2-3 weeks ago, we had one last parents weekend at Mizzou. I mean, I don't even drink and I was hungover. But, I mean, it was one last weekend at Mizzou for the to see the daughter. And they did a bar crawl. I said, I'm going to go to the baseball game. So I went to see Missouri. I was Florida. And Mizzou swept them. Florida's not what they were last June.
Right.
But Missouri Stadium is not even close to Haymarket Park. It's still this thing. It's been upgraded, but it still looks like it was when I was in college 40-some years ago. And they're in the SEC, yeah, where everybody's got like a minor league stadium.
Yeah, that's so, a good point.
I think Haymarket Park still works for me. If it's going to be upgraded, do it. But I don't think it doesn't need a big overhaul. And by the way, the long lines for beer surprised me. You don't see that at the basketball games, at Nebraska basketball games. You don't see it for that, but I have no problem with it. I just wasn't expecting the people are ready to go. Maybe it was how the bullpen's been doing lately during the midweek. The long lines were there.
Yeah, they will drive you to drink. Top Shell, the World Herald, joining us. You've gotten to spend some away from the cameras and microphone time with Coach Rhule. And one of his qualities, he's very disarming. He's very personable. He's very engaging when you talk, really anything. He's a very conversationalist. But he has doubled down on the phrase, I expect us to make a significant jump. Not, can we make a significant jump? He says, I expect us. Why do you think he is so strong in that belief on where he's at and what he's seen that they will make a quote-unquote significant jump in the upcoming season?
Well, he's got proof. It's not like, you know, some of the coaches that Nebraska has hired have not done it at this level. And he has. And so he's seen it. What I think is interesting is his the confidence. I talked to him about the player leadership. You know, the best programs are always player led. They become coaches on the field. They enforce the way things are done. And he said that usually takes effect in year three. So he's even looking like, okay, year three, a lot of stuff probably won't happen this year, but it should happen next year. So, I think he sees this is the year you go to a bowl game, and then you know year three, everything really kicks in. And if you look at the roster, there might be something to that. You know that will be Rayola's second year. We don't know what's going to happen this year, but it should be better. I think besides the way he is, and he's done it. I think you have to carry yourself in that position with a certain air of confidence. Mm-hmm. You want the players to know, we know what we're doing. We've done it, and this is what's going to happen. And sometimes that becomes reality on the field if you do believe it. So, but you know we've. Guys like us, people out there, we've all heard it, man. We've heard every speech the last 20 years. We've heard every angle. We just want to see something. You know, we're tired of hearing it. I just want to see something. So, tomorrow it's going to be vanilla. But if it's smooth and there aren't many mistakes, Nebraska hasn't done vanilla well in a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's time to do vanilla again and just get the basics right. And so, if tomorrow is a bunch of mistakes and penalties, that might be kind of hard to swallow, but it's not the end of the world. But I just would like to see smooth. I think he would too. And we want to see quarterbacks. I want to see passes.
Yep.
I want to see passes that aren't high and low and behind. It won't be perfect, but I'm excited to see what's coming up.
And with that, Matt Rhule's ability to set the tone for expectations, despite people who have a chance to see practices either in their entirety or even getting a glimpse of it, how do you feel he's handled the narrative when asked about Dylan Raiola? Because obviously this is rare, the type of player that he projects to be and what that could mean for Nebraska's immediate future. How do you think Matt Rhule has handled that narrative here so early in the process?
Yeah, I think it's been fine. And they had him speak early, and he was great. And I think that there's a lot of perspective. They've clearly said Daniel Kalen they've praised him a lot. He makes sure to praise Harburg whenever he can. Mm-hmm. So it's not all just one guy. There's a quarterback race here, and at the end of the day, Satterfield was up there, and he made it clear, we wanted Dylan to have energy at the beginning of the practice to carry that over to the rest of the offense, and he was out there running around doing all this stuff. So it was clear that he mentioned Raiola, not anybody else.
Right.
So I think that they're going to, I think Rhule is going to include everybody, but I think tomorrow will give us a little more context as to who is what, and maybe it'll be nose to nose. Maybe they'll both have a great day and it'll be fun. But I haven't seen him play yet. I've seen him on film. I've seen him on the Polynesian Bowl. It doesn't really seem like they have this incredible phenom yet, because I haven't seen him yet. So maybe that will really sink in tomorrow.
3 to 5 years from now, what does Omaha athletics look like?
Yeah, I think hockey's on a really good trajectory. I really like what they're doing. They're getting good guys in the portal. The Alaska kids look good. Basketball, this was a good litmus test for what they're going to, the reality of them, which is Coach Crutch is going to bring in guys, and he's going to develop them, and then they're probably going to leave. If they've done their job right, and these guys are guys that are quality guys who can help somebody up at the top level, chances are, this was one guy in a Fiddler, hometown kid, and they gave him the best possible NIL package that you could probably give a kid in the Summit League. It still wasn't good enough. That's just the way that goes. And you can't blame Frankie to go. He's going to go take a shot. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to recruit well. And I told you the other night, Gary, at the game, I think you take this sort of thing and go, okay, we'll turn it into a selling point to recruits. Mm-hmm. Hey, we develop guys, and then they go to Michigan State. Tom Izzo likes our guys.
Yeah.
It sounds weird to say that you could turn that into a positive, but that's the reality of where they are. It's just the reality of it. So I think that they will settle into that. I think he's going to get to the NCAA tournament, and it's going to be incredible. I think they're doing really well. I have to hang on to their AD. We'll see how well, he's a great AD, I think.
So do you? And we're up against it here a little bit, but
yeah,
I'm kind of leaning. I want you to, like, the consolidation idea that was floated by Trev and Ted Carter is not going away.
I got you.
Is Omaha Athletics going to trade in their crimson and black for scarlet and cream here soon?
No, I think that they'll get to keep their covers. It'll just be the logo will be the N. And I know that people, I think they're still going to be athletics. I think that there's still going to be this and that. But the sports logo will still be whatever UNL wants it to be. But can they call themselves Omaha? I think UNL in the last 10 years was allowed to build a brand.
Yep.
And maybe that was, maybe somebody should have said, well, let's hold off on that. But they let Trev go. And once again, Trev is a moving train. And he took that, and they built a brand. They changed it. But they had to remember, they're still part of the Nebraska system. The mothership is still intact, and they're have to answer to the mothership. And, you know, if you want to go off and do Omaha University again, okay, go ahead. But if you're going to be part of the Nebraska system, there's some people down there in Lincoln worried that the Big Ten is going to kick them out. They've been told to get their academic academic act together, and so they're, I think, consolidating the campuses, especially the Med Center. That needs to be changed, and I think that'll help the AAU thing back. Mm. But if you look like Michigan, if you look like Minnesota, you look more like those guys. That's what they want to do. The rest of them just have to. I don't think it'll change how anybody recruits or plays on the fields. But will the hockey get to wear the Omaha jersey? I don't know. I don't think it'll be a big block in on every athletic. I don't think they're. I'm not going to buy it. School letterhead or. Yeah, you might. I mean, you know, maybe some the classroom. Some of the buildings on campus might have it, or the administration building would have that. But
buckle up, buckle up.
It'll be tough, but it shouldn't affect sports.
Hey, we appreciate it as always. Good to talk to you, my friend. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
To Tom.
Tom Chattel of the World Herald.
Hello.
Yeah, and.
You would lose a very, very good athletic director down the street here.
That brand that they were able to build, and I know Adrian has been very good at continuing to push that brand where even just small traditions, I know these aren't large-scale things, but to a fan base, it's important, even the difference between like what I do at the hockey games, calling them the UNO Mavericks. Now it's very much urged to call them Omaha Mavericks because that's the brand. That's the brand that they felt. And I think we would agree they've been very successful in creating that brand and separate it from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. Where this fan base, whether you're a diehard Maverick basketball fan, hockey fan, baseball fan, softball, volleyball, whatever it is, or you just support athletics, you dig that. You dig that part of it now because now you feel like it is your own. You've, even though technically you're part of the system, you've separated that. Like he brought up Minnesota. I think of Minnesota Crookston. I just went to their website just because I remember Crookston playing UNO back in football when they had football, and I don't remember, but now... I mean, they're the exact same colors as the Minnesota Golden Gophers and Duluth as well.
It's like Indiana University, Purdue University, Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
They made the change. They kept their name, the Mastodons, but they all of a sudden were black and gold.
Yep.
Like Purdue.
Yep.
All right.
Red hockey sweaters.
Now, the one where I go, okay, is Trev's not here. Mm-hmm. That was a big Trev thing.
Yep.
Trey Dan's got a lot of stuff going on. Does he really want that on his plate as well?
Wouldn't think so.
All right. Mike Schaefer, Matt Verzal, still to come on 1620 The Zone.